So you must also consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Amen. If you grew up watching Westerns, or if you're a fan of classic 80s rock, you know the famous line, wanted, dead or alive. Bon Jovi got it good, right, and salutary. That, it's all the same, only the names will change. Every day it seems we're wasting away. Another place where the faces are so cold. I drive all night just to get back home. I'm a cowboy. On a steel horse I ride. I'm wanted, dead or alive. In those cowboy westerns, if someone is getting hunted, the bounty hunter didn't care what shape they were in. All they cared about was getting paid. And the outlaw runs because they are terrified. There are those who think of God like this, like he is a bounty hunter who needs to get paid for chasing us down when we are knee-deep in lawlessness. Because, as our psalm of the day reminded us, the law of the Lord is perfect. Therefore, we have to know the rules of the territory. God must be looking for us because we've gotten off the path or the roadmap of our lives. And that's why for an outlaw, a perfect law is terrifying. Because it means there is an absolute standard that we can't outrun. But what are these terrifying rules that God lays down as the boundaries that you cannot cross? Well, of course, Exodus 20, with the Ten Commandments, is the bedrock of these rules. Don't do this and don't do that. You shall not murder, do not steal, do not lie. And sometimes thought that some of those don't apply to us. Others say that this Exodus 20 text is outdated. It was written by Moses, after all, some odd 3,400 years ago. A lot's happened in that time. Culture and the age don't do things like the Israelites in the desert anymore. Or, of course, throughout history, we must adapt to society and its changes. That's the mindset. The older the parts of the Bible are, the more they aren't for us anymore. It's the Old Testament, after all. I've lost count, though, of how many times I have to remind folks that Scripture is clear in the passages that say, "For I, the Lord, do not change. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of the Lord will stand forever." With the Father of lights, there is no variation or shadow due to change, James tells us. God does not lie or change his mind. And how about in Hebrews? Great, great passage that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. See, we need the Ten Commandments because our human nature, in the natural sense, is to live like outlaws, rebels without a cause. Everyone wants to be the boss of their own lives, bending the boundaries wherever they suit us. That's why we need reminders of God's word. Because yes, God is looking for us. But he doesn't want you dead or alive. He wants you both. Under this light, our old nature, aka the old Adam, is completely cornered. It is the law that has tracked us down and caught every one of us red-handed. And at the heart of the matter, in the gospel, Jesus actually raises the stakes. Because he tells the crowd that their righteousness must exceed the Pharisees. And remember, the Pharisees were the ultimate rule obeyers. They represent the mindset of those who think they're oh-so-good people and never break the rules. So the folks listening to Jesus, for them, It was a heavy blow. Because if they aren't good enough, who can be saved? Now, some people think that when Jesus showed up, he came to relax the rules, lower the standards. But look at the gospel reading. Jesus completely shatters that idea, and he is perfect, so he can do that. That's why I unabashedly don't like the newly commercialized group called He Gets Us. You may have seen the advertisements or commercials where they use Jesus as an example for us to have a lax and supportive attitude on sin. But the truth of the matter is, he does get us. He gets that we are poor, miserable sinners, that we justly deserve God's wrath and judgment. Therefore, Jesus comes not to abolish the law, but to fulfill it. Not lower the bar. The bar is unreachable for us. In and of ourselves, we have no power to soar above it. Well, outwardly, you can appear like a very good person. But that's why Jesus moves from outward actions straight to what's happening deep inside of us. He says, if you are angry with your brother, you will be liable to judgment. Whoever insults his brother will be liable to the council. And whoever says, you fool, will be liable to the hell of fire. Yeah, he equates such things that we do every day to murder, the fifth commandment. You see, the law isn't just about keeping your hands clean. It's also about keeping your heart pure. He tracks the sin of murder straight down to hidden anger. But this is the standard Jesus sets in Matthew 5. And Jesus finishes the section warning, if you don't settle up with your brother, that is, be reconciled, lest your accuser drag you to court, hand you over to the judge, and then you'll be thrown into prison until every last penny is paid. Sounds like a threat, doesn't it? But that's the crushing weight of trying to face God on our own steam, on our own merits. So here's the jam we are in, the big dilemma. Because God is perfect and holy, he can't just wink at wrong behavior and pretend it didn't happen. The debt has to be paid. But if he has to destroy the sinner to satisfy the law, then his mercy is completely lost. So how does he catch the outlaw without destroying the person? Well, to answer that, we have to turn to our epistle in Romans chapter 6, where Paul starts by tackling a massive misunderstanding. He asks, are we to continue in sin that grace, mercy, may abound? In plain language, should we continue to keep living like outlaws so that God can keep showing how merciful he is to us? And Paul answers that very loudly with a by no means. How can we who died to sin still live in it? This is exactly why you are wanted both dead and alive. Because God doesn't solve our problem with a self-help program. He solves it with a radical life-altering death. And here's the beauty of that life-altering death. All of us who were baptized into Christ were baptized into his death. Yes, that's what happens at the font. We get buried with him into his very death, and we die with him there. The old Adam is drowned because that old rebellious nature gets taken to the cross. The penalty there was paid for you, and that's why you're wanted dead. You know what? When you are dead, you can't do anything. And God can work with that. Because you are no longer able to kick or scream or even make a choice. You're dead. Because you died with Christ, the law has already carried out its sentence. And since a judge can't put a corpse on trial, the law can't hunt you down anymore to capture you. And therefore, the guilt is taken away. And the prison doors from Matthew 5 are unlocked. It's as if the gospel breaks the rules by paying your debt in full. But also, know that God doesn't leave us in the cemetery, because the story doesn't end at the grave. Paul writes that if we have been united in a death like his, then we shall certainly be united in what? A resurrection like his. Well, how so? Because Jesus didn't stay buried. And that same resurrection gives a brand new life to you. So one of the effects of those baptismal waters is you become a completely new creation. The old outlaw is dead, and a new person has been brought to life. The price was paid, but you walked out restored. And that's the second part of the great promise. You are wanted alive. But right here is where we have to be a little careful. Because when our broken flesh hears that the sentence is paid, we immediately look for a loophole. We say things like, oh, we're all just sinners. So that's not something to be proud of. Saved by grace doesn't mean the rules no longer matter. Because a resurrected person doesn't live like an outlaw anymore. So let me be completely clear. Being free from the punishment does not mean we are free to just go out and break the law wherever we want. Because God's way is still the right way to live in his kingdom. Or how about this? If you have been rescued from a burning building, you don't run back into it because the fire department has a great training program. No, the difference is the law is no longer a bounty hunter. It becomes a good guide that stands before you. And that's why when we look back at Matthew 5, we can see it with brand new eyes. When Jesus tells us not to harbor anger anymore, it's not a threat to destroy us. It's actually a description of who we are now, because the old outlaw would feel the grudge, would feed off of it, but not anymore, because now you are alive in Christ. And that's why the daily choice, yes, daily, is to die to sin. The old Adam is a good swimmer, therefore you have to drown him daily. And when you remember your baptism, that means to turn to it. That is exactly what you are doing, dunking him back in the font. And that is also why we cross ourselves before we confess with one another that we are sinners here in this place, to remind you of whose name you wear. Not old Adam, but new Adam. And even though you are a new creation, this is a daily moment by moment choice. Yeah, now after you have been made one in Christ, then you can make a decision. Not before, but after. Psalm 19 shows our relationship to Christ. When the old nature wants to crawl out of the grave with you, especially when someone cuts you off in traffic while driving. In those exact moments, and that's just a nice example, there are more grudgingly moments. You want to be real nasty, a real nasty cowboy, where you say, uh-uh, nah, nah. But instead, you do say, uh-uh. You say, you don't own me anymore, old Adam. You have been drowned in baptism, so I don't identify with you anymore. Get back in the grave where you belong. I will not feed you, because I have only food for the new life, which Christ puts inside of you. So consequently, when you walk out of the doors today, you are under a totally different contract. You aren't running from a spiritual bounty hunter. Your steel horse is exchanged for a bright red carriage, where you are a passenger in that carriage. You are free, because Jesus is driving. Then you can finally step forward, because your name has changed. You're not wasting away. Faces seem no longer cold, and you are at home already, both dead and alive. See, it's a paradox of what the one true faith is, looking for the resurrection and the life for the world to come. So let me tell you, we are wanted by God, but not to be punished. We are wanted to be reclaimed as living, breathing icons of His grace. And you are now empowered by the power of the Holy Spirit to love your neighbor from a clean heart. When the law demanded justice, Jesus perfectly delivered it. Therefore, you are wanted dead to the power of sin, to the power of guilt, but you are wanted alive to walk in newness of life. God's bounty on you and your life has been completely fulfilled, but not the way the world expects, but by taking your old self to the cross with Christ. And then you can have joy according to His perfect design. That's the gospel. That's what it's all about. The flip a maru. And you could still be a cowboy. But know this. The tomb's empty. The account is settled. And the outlaw part of that cowboy is gone because the new life has begun. So ride, cowboy. Be a ranger for Christ. In the name of Jesus. Amen.